Right back on Sports Open Line on Tuesday night. I'm going to squeeze a little baseball in here. We're going to do some college football in just a bit. I want to hear from we're going to hear from Gary Pinkel. You know, I wanted to get to this last week. Didn't really have a chance to. Ranji and I just, we get carried away. We have a little bit too much fun sometimes. So I do want to play the conversation that Tom Ackerman had with Gary Pinkel. We didn't get to it yet, and I do want to get to that. So we'll play a little bit of that coming up here in just a few minutes. And, you know, again, Gary Pinkel going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Clearly somebody that's going to be remembered for a very long time at the University of Missouri. Not just there, too. Obviously, he had a good run at Toledo before that. But what we all know is the run at Mizzou, and it was pretty fantastic. All right, let's talk catchers here. And this is just kind of a primer segment, right? I've been taking on projects for myself, baseball-related projects for myself, trying to, you know, go a little deeper on some things that might be fun to write about for the website, for KMOX.com, or to talk about here on the show. And, you know, these will be, a couple of these will be coming, I've been working on them for a few days. I'll be working on them more in the coming days. And I'm not finished yet, but I'm working on a list of the top 20 catchers of all time. With the idea here, and this came up yesterday on the Glover Show, like, where does Yadi fit? Somebody asked me, where does he fit? Where would you rank him amongst the all-time catchers? I'm like, that's a good question. Like, I don't think it's very difficult to say that he's one of the three or four best defensive catchers of all time. The numbers back that up, whatever numbers you want to look at. You want to look at Gold Gloves? He's right there. Johnny Bench, Pud Rodriguez, Yadier Molina. You want to look at defensive wins above replacement? Molina's right there. There's only one player in baseball history with more defensive wins above replacement than Yadier Molina. Actually, yeah, there's one, and that's Ivan Rodriguez. So there are a lot of ways to look at it. Now, I would say without question, based on what we can measure, and I know you can't measure everything about catching. It's to me, it's one of the most difficult things about coming to judgments about this particular position, because it's hard to measure defense accurately, because so far I've not seen a number that quantifies defensive performance by catchers that includes the difficulty that comes with having to manage every inning of every game when you play. There are about 145, 150 pitches thrown by each team in a major league game. Guess who's calling every one of those? I think you could probably guess, right? You know, in the Cardinals' case, it's Yadier Molina. So you've got the strategy side of this. You've got to have somebody that's tied in with your pitchers that can, you know, not only understand what the game plan is, but adjust as the game goes along, depending on what kind of stuff your pitcher has that day, or depending on what maybe a hitter is doing differently today than he did the last time you faced him. These are all things that have to be managed in real time by a catcher, including controlling the running game, blocking pitches in the dirt, directing traffic when the ball's put in play. That's part of a catcher's job, is to direct traffic on defense. All of that, to me, weighs more than offense. If I had to weigh what matters more for a catcher, offense versus defense, it's clearly defense. Where do they impact the game? So think about it as a hitter. The average hitter is going to get, like, what is it, 3.8 plate appearances per game? I think that's the number, 3.7, 3.8 plate appearance. Let's just call it four. You're going to have four at-bats a game. How many of those even matter directly to the outcome of the game? Now, they all matter, right? They all add up over time. But it's still only four at-bats. But you've got to be alert and a part of the action on every pitch when your team is in the field. You're a part of it. You're not just observing it. And look, you know, ground ball hit to a shortstop, he might get a few of those a game. You have to be involved on every pitch as a catcher. So to me, we need to weight defense more for catchers than we have in history. And I don't just look at that for Molina, by the way. That affects how I rank a whole lot of other guys when it comes to this list too. Now, what I've done so far is I've created my top 20 catchers. I think I have the guys that I want in there. And I've got them broken down into three categories right now, and I'm hoping to finish this up tomorrow. I've got the obvious ones. You know, there's about six, seven, eight, nine guys that are obvious to me. They need to be in the top. And it's the combination of offense and defense and their place in history and, you know, what they did during their careers. And it's relative to when you played to. Then there's another group of about seven or eight people that, boy, it's not easy to sort after that. Like that group, there's a lot of arguments to be made about who should go where and how they should be ranked. And then I got another few that are guys that either were too extreme on one side or the other when it came to their performance, like not league average offensively or not good enough defensively. Or, let's be honest, a guy like Joe Mauer, who only played half his career as a catcher. How much do I want to give him credit for being a catcher when you only play half your career as a catcher? I know it wasn't his fault. I know he had to switch because of concussions. But it's still, you know, only half your career. It's a tough call. So the top guys that are obvious that go in the elite category, no question about Johnny Bench, and I think most people view him, and I think accurately, as the best catcher of all time. Pudge Rodriguez is right there. I think to me those are the top two when you combine offensive and defensive achievements. They're both tremendous catchers. They both had outstanding offensive careers. Although, I'll tell you, you know, Pudge Rodriguez's offensive career, not quite as awesome as you might think. I mean, it's way better than Yadi. You know, it's a pretty big difference. But it's, you know, some of the numbers were not quite what I thought they were. But he was the best defensive catcher according to defensive war. He's the best of all time. According to Gold Gloves, you know, right there too. So you got those two guys, I think, as the top guys. But there's a group there that's close. You got Yogi Berra, who played most of his career behind the plate, was not only a great clutch hitter, but, I mean, just a legitimate dude as a hitter. And he was an okay defensive player. He was not, by any means, a shaky defender. He wasn't a great one, but he was pretty solid. You got Carlton Fisk. Got to throw him in there. Again, awesome defensive catcher, played for a long time, hit for power, you know, one of the all-time leaders when it comes to home runs for catchers. I think he's third on the home run list for catchers. He's definitely in that top group. Again, right now I'm not listing in any order. I'm just kind of throwing the guys out there. Gary Carter is definitely top 5. Maybe top 3. I mean, he's got the offense and the defensive chops to be in there. Mike Piazza does not have the defensive numbers. He had 1.5 defensive war in his career. So, didn't really help you a whole lot there. But his bat was so elite. Even in an era where numbers were crazy, his numbers were even better. Like, he was amazing. So, he's in this conversation. I got to put Josh Gibson in this. I mean, it's hard because he doesn't have major league numbers. Some of this is, you know, believing the history books. Some of this is believing some of the stories that are told about him and then looking at his numbers in the Negro Leagues and how did that relate to the major leagues. I think we got to put Josh Gibson in this conversation in the top 10. Unless everybody from back in the day was full of it, and I don't believe that for a second. Then you've got a couple of guys that are older school, like Bill Dickey of the Yankees, Roy Campanella from the Dodgers, who had big, you know, for the time in their career, big bats, obviously the defensive reputations. Campanella's numbers could have been even better if he had been able to break into the major leagues younger. I think his first full major league season was when he was 26, 27 years old. Like, that's my top group right there. And I haven't ranked them in order yet, but it's not that hard once you get there. Then we've got the next group, and I think Yadi's in this next group. You know, I think Thurman Munson is in this group. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he should be. Bill Freehan is not in the Hall of Fame, but he should be. He's in this next group. Ted Simmons is in this group. Yadi, Gabby Hartnett, who's a Hall of Famer, Mickey Cochran, who's a Hall of Famer. To me, that's the next group. So how do we sort this? It's a good question. And then I think after those guys, it's a group that includes Buster Posey, Joe Mauer, Jorge Posada, guys like that. I'm going to try to sort this out and post it tomorrow at KMOX.com, and maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow night on Sports Open Line in advance of the Billikens women's game. But, yeah, I think right now I'm looking at Molina somewhere between 10 and 15. Top 10, you know, number 10 and number 15 all time. Because, again, I weight defense more than most. And when you're one of the top two or three defensive catchers of all time, I don't think it's that hard to argue that you finished in the top 15 all time and maybe even at the very end of the top 10. All right, coming up next, we're going to shift gears. I want you to hear a little bit from soon-to-be College Football Hall of Famer Gary Pinkel, his conversation with Tom Ackerman when we come back on KMOX.